Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From the station that made country music famous, 650 AM WSM, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hi, it's Charlie Maddox, and in this episode, what a fun visit with Keith and Kristen Getty, recorded August the 1st of 2019. The Gettys were getting set for Sing 2019, the Getty Music Worship Conference coming to Gaylord Opryland. There would be a show at the Grand Ole Opry House and a big production at Bridgestone Arena included as well. We would talk about it all with Keith and Kristen Getty. Enjoy our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
What a production. Every time they take the stage, every time they hear their music on the radio as you're listening all over the world, we welcome to the studio Keith and Kristen Getty. Getty Music Worship Conference is coming to Gaylord Opryland a little later in the month. It's the 19th, 20th, 21st. They're also, as a part of that, doing an August 20th Bridgestone Arena show. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Thank you
we
for having
We are
us.
Thrilled to be here.
We really
and to
are.
Be back in Nashville.
Yeah, and do you find, you said you just got back after a couple of months visiting family in Ireland.
Right.
Does your accent thicken like, say, Charlie Maddox's does, being from New England when he gets on the phone with the people back in Rhode Island?
It does happen, actually.
Yeah.
It does happen.
I think our accent becomes a little more pronounced whenever we go home because we don't want them to think, you know, we're putting on an affectation to try and be American, you know. But our four children, they all have American accents. We are Irish parents raising four little Americans.
And little hillbillies?
Well, they have a little slide in their voice. Particularly our second daughter, you know. Mom, when are you going to go to the store?
She says store.
I'm sorry, Charlotte. The what?
That's the Reba store. Hard R, we call it. The store.
But we're from Northern Ireland, so we bring them home every summer to check in with grandparents and cousins, and they love it. But the jet lag, not so good. We're still sort of suffering that a little. You know?
So, Keith, do you decompress and just try to get away from music for a while, a couple months?
Yeah, it's a mixture of both. We finish up the first half year. We just did our first arena show. Obviously, the Sing Conference is becoming a global arena show over the next 5 years, playing in 30 cities in the six continents. And so we did our first one of those. So that was to bring that home to Belfast. We call ourselves people of two homes, Belfast and Nashville. So to do that there was brilliant. But then we took a 30-day complete digital detox. I take Facebook off my phone. I can't get emails for 30 days, and we just hang out in the north coast of Ireland and have a good time and hit those beaches with our girls and have fun and have
make up for all the family Sunday dinners that we missed throughout the year.
And to be honest, probably more of family than we'd really want, to be honest.
We love them when we say goodbye.
It's like nice to see you come and nice to see you go. You know?
Yeah, I'm so reminded of a conversation with Blake Shelton, mm-hmm. living in Oklahoma, growing up there in Ada. Mm-hmm. But he lives in Tishomingo, which is like the next town over and a county away.
That's a great name.
And he says, I asked him about that. He said, well, I just couldn't go back to Ada because people can just drop by after work. Yes. If you live inconveniently 30 miles away, they usually will call and let you know they're coming.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Or
not let you know they're coming in the case of Ireland. So that's a good.
So what is the coast of Ireland like? You know, I don't think about going to the coast of
it's
Ireland.
Extraordinary.
Are you into golf? Do you like golf?
The British Open's just played there in Royal Portrush.
The Northern Ireland beaches were gracing the screens all over the world these last few weeks. Just beautiful, stunning views.
Royal Portrush, and then, of course, Bushmills is a famous town on the north coast of Jan's Causeway. I think we've got about, I think within half an hour of our house, we've almost 20 beaches. So it's a lot of fun.
Now when
sandy beaches,
rain,
rocky beaches?
Yeah. Sandy and rocky, but it's beautiful. It's just, you know, regularly you'll be wearing your coat when you go to visit them. That's the only thing.
It's a lovely summer's day. Somebody was putting my coat up. You know what I mean?
Not unlike New England.
Yes,
United States. Yeah. You know, you got the sand and the rocks.
Right.
And the rockier, the further north you go.
Yeah.
We're with each other. We're not.
We go in the water in August up in Rhode Island.
Yeah. It's 65 degrees.
Yeah. Our kids still do. They're brave. It's freezing cold, but they'll still do it. When you're 5 and 6 years old, it's amazing what you can put up with for some fun.
Yeah, they come out of the water, they're blue and not phased at all.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Since we came back here, my wife's been wearing yellow, sort of representing the sun. And so.
not that matters on radio, but there we go.
Well, they can see you on television this morning, too.
Oh, really?
Border to border, coast to coast. And they can hear you back home, as yes. many people do. I was mentioning to you off yeah. the air. Before we went live.
If any of our family are listening, I wasn't being serious.
No, exactly. That's right.
Rather a short list of things that people they certainly know your songs, but may not know that you were the composers behind them. But In Christ Alone is probably
that was the start of it. We started in the year 2000 to try and reinvent hymns. You know, we both were very convinced by Christianity, wanted to follow Christ with our lives, but I couldn't quite really get to love what was happening in contemporary Christian music, contemporary worship, and at the same time, but I realized there was a real need for relevance and for each generation to write their song. So we started writing what became known as modern hymns. So In Christ Alone is an example. So they get sung in traditional churches and in modern churches, and I guess that's the most regular distinctive. And we've just kept doing it over the years, and I guess we've had to invent a lot of things as we've gone along because it was a new trail. Nobody was doing what we did. And there wasn't a radio station for it. There wasn't a conference for it. And so things like the Sing Conference began by us just saying to our friends, if you want to come to Nashville for 2 or 3 days, you know, we're going to have a conference. It's going to be a singing musical celebration, but it's going to look at the things that we care about. It's going to look at Christian, about the Bible. It's going to look at the arts and beauty and excellence and creativity. And it's also going to look at getting families and churches singing together. When I grew up, you know, the little upright piano, my parents' little house, people got around the piano and sang. And that is part of Christian living to me. When you go to church, I really don't care if there's a worship leader or not, or who the people are at the front in their smoke. It's about the family of people singing to one another. And so we just thought, let's do that. And bizarrely, the Sing Conference has become, you know, it was meant to be a one-off. We sat one day on the very night before, I had a meeting with my two senior guys, Josh and Greg, and said, you know, I'm not sure I can do this. And I kind of really began to lose my confidence. And they said, well, look, our conclusion was, if it's 60% full, if we can get 1,000 people there, it will have been worth it. It will have been worth it to have just done this. And they have done. And of course, there's between the conference and then the extra concerts this year, there's 15,000 coming along. So it's been a sort of an amazing journey.
Good for you.
You know, with it, but almost 10,000 coming to the conference. And then with the concerts that we're throwing really for the city and for everybody else at the Bridgestone, at the Grand Ole Opry, I think it's close on 15,000. So we're very excited. We're really buzzed.
Kristen, where do the two of you meet? Where does this love story begin?
Oh my goodness, back in Northern Ireland. Yeah. My uncle, he's actually one of the speakers this year. He's a professor from Oxford, fantastic guy. He heard me sing once at church, and when I was 18 years old, he said, I know a guy called Keith Getty. He's also from Northern Ireland. He writes songs. He's into music. You should meet him. And so he introduced us over a phone call or whatever. And we started writing songs the first day we met. And it wasn't something I was intending to do, write songs, but he needed a lyricist for a project he was working on.
I needed
on.
To see her at all costs.
And he just thought, well, maybe she could try this. I was about to do English literature at university. I had an interest in words. It's so hard to talk when your husband has a microphone too. It's unbelievable. Anyway.
I just wanted a date and I couldn't ask her out. I had promised her dad I would keep her away from these opportunistic, all these men, she'd made a little EP and all these male producers, you know, mostly hot-blooded, were trying to get her to produce her. And I said, I'll protect her. So I was trying to be the decent guy in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I had to...
So he protected me all the way to the altar. We got married.
I was 24, she was 18. So it was like...
We got married when I was 24 then. We've been married 15 years and actually haven't had a night apart.
Never. Over a thousand flights, and we've landed them all in the same city in the same
because
night.
In the first year we were married, yeah. We decided, yeah. You know, so many of our musical friends were constantly pulled in different directions. We thought, for the first year that we're married, we're only going to take on gigs and, you know, invitations where we can go together. And then during that year, we started to sort of combine what we did together, you know, in terms of the songs we wrote and the events we would take. And so the next year we were traveling, so there was no need. And the next year and the next year. And then it just, and then we suddenly thought, gosh, it would have to be a pretty significant thing for us not to, you know, be in the same place. And so that's been 15 years and four children later.
Wow, yes. I mentioned, and I wanted the audience to know this story. The last time I saw you, you've played since then, but it was the
one of
time,
the times.
Yeah, one of the, it was the time before, and it was at the Ryman, and you were so pregnant at the time.
I
remember
that stage
saying
a few times.
In the introduction of Keith and Kristen Getty, if you're just joining us, that we may actually have, after 93 years, a first at the Grand Ole Opry, and that is a live birth during a performance.
Man.
And, I mean, you left that night, and within days, the announcement of the birth came.
I might have got some Cracker Barrel coupons or something.
That would have been a story.
That had happened.
There's a PR opportunity missed.
To disappoint. But
you can lead a horse to water.
Yeah, no.
But you can't make her give birth in the Ryman stage.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you think, Bill? Jimmy Capps or Tommy White to give the birth on the stage?
The delivery?
Yeah, to delivery. I think.
I think little Jimmy Dickens was still around.
Oh,
there.
That would have been good. Yeah.
Are there still opportunities to attend the?
Yeah, there's still tickets for the two concerts.
Yeah, okay. The two concerts. We've got the Hymn Sing at the Opry on Sunday night on the 18th, and then the Bridgestone event on the 20th. Okay. And there are still some tickets.
So the Opry on the Sunday night is our first kind of Nashville Hymn Sing that we're doing. We're hoping to make that an annual thing every year. The Sunday night, the night before the conference, the eve, we do this big hymn sing for the city. And the first half is all the modern hymn writers, Stuart Town and myself, who wrote these modern hymns, How Deep the Father's Love and Christ. I'm telling the stories behind the songs. Ricky Skaggs is introducing it, of course. No party will be complete without Ricky Skaggs. And our band will be there. And it's going to be fun. And Natalie Grant's coming in to guest in one of the songs, Sailor coming in to guest in one of those. Then the second half, one of our dear friends, Johnny Erickson Tada, you may have heard of her, the quadriplegic. There's a movie made about her life. And she's been had a very serious cancer in the last 2 years, and she canceled all her events except this one this year. And she's going to do the second half doing an a cappella hymn sing, talking about how singing to her soul has been helpful to her. So that's going to be, I mean, the place is going to be packed. The singing is going to be extraordinary. If you miss singing in harmony, if you miss singing hymns, it's going to be an incredible, incredible night. Then Tuesday night at the Bridgestone, we're going through the life of Christ, and Tuesday night is the resurrection. So it's a celebration of the resurrection. Andrew Peterson's joining us. We've got Shane and Shane. We've got John Piper sharing a little thing. And Pedro Eustace.
A thousand voice choir.
Over 13,000 people in the room singing. So it's going to be a fun night.
And you can register right now. Speaking of tickets of availability, you can register. There's a link if you go to gettymusic.com. That's gettymusic.com. At the top of the page, there's a little yellow bar. Says, click here to register now for Sing 2019.
No scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
The Gettys are here. Keith and Kristen on 650 AM WSM, and Kristen with that magical voice of hers and that mic technique. How you do that live is just amazing night after night to watch you.
You're very kind.
No, I mean that sincerely, and I've told you this at the Opry.
But she's amazing, and she skips between being like a worship leader, which is encouraging people to sing, which is a different thing. Then she'll go to a solo song, and It spawns kind of Irish and bluegrass and global and classical
but
and pop.
But you're just playing that version with Alison Krauss. She's one of my favorite voices in all the world. So that was such at the day I got to sing that with her. Woof.
And that's the song that started it all for you guys as a writer, a composer, and then performers in Christ Alone. Which how many people have done that song?
There's hundreds of versions. Our publishers, Integrity Music, Jonathan Brown, believe. Because it's a unique sort of in with for example, China, the persecuted church in China, India, Singapore, Indonesia, these kind of countries, they reckon beyond all church things, they think there's over 100 million people in the world sing it every year. They think, according to CCLI, there's about 40 to 50 million sing it, but they believe, given its reach there, and also given its reach into traditional denominations, they believe it's over 100 million. So it's, but who knows? I mean, it's just an interesting thing. So
when did you start playing piano?
My mom was a piano teacher and my dad was a church organist, so I kind of had no choice. You know?
And he fought against it for years.
Yeah.
And what denomination did you grow up in?
I grew up Irish Presbyterian, which means you're crazy, but you're still miserable. Do you know what I mean? And so, but it was good. It taught me hymns. It taught me, you know, the Bible, and I loved that. And so I think there's a part of me that will always be an Irish Presbyterian. You know, there's a part of me is still this little Irish Presbyterian hymn singing kid trying to work out how that fits in the world today. Right. Do you know what I mean? So,
and Kristen?
I'm thankful.
My dad's a pastor, and he planted a church when I was a little girl, a non-denominational church. So I just grew up, church was, you know, all filled all of life. And Sunday was the busiest day of the week, and that's where I started to sing. And where I probably felt most comfortable, especially in the early years. I just loved to be able to sing a song with a message in a church and have people sing along, you know. So that was always part of things. I remember hearing a lady sing at a Sunday evening service, and I was maybe 4 or 5, and watching her and going, gosh, I'd love to do that. And that just started the bug for it, you know.
Do you remember your first, the song you did in your first solo, as we call them,
Jesus
in church?
Jesus Loves Me, this I know.
Jesus Loves
Me? Yeah,
you.
One of the classic, you know, songs of the church and for children, and I messed it up dreadfully. I was so nervous. I've always struggled with nerves, you know, and overthinking, you know.
Really?
Having,
it doesn't show.
Well, that's amazing. Comedy outside, I get a little storm brewing inside.
Beg to differ.
Keith never gets nervous. Never gets nervous.
I don't sing, that's why. I only play piano and nobody cares.
I get a little bit nervous. That's not true either.
The spotlight's not on you, is it?
So after we do these signings after the shows, and I've actually been there where people are sitting going, who's that? No one goes, I don't know. And the other one actually turns and goes, was that the fat guy that was at the piano? And they're sitting having this conversation, an earshot of me, and I'm going, what do I do?
Well, I told Charlie, knowing you were coming, I said,
it's funny, as if
this musical troupe has rolled into the Opry, because there are so many.
You guys are so kind. You know, that bring so many musicians.
But
on
you,
the
yes,
stage.
You bring dancers and musicians who are playing all sorts of instruments, and
we turn it into what we call a session.
A celebration, is what it is, and it just turns the place on its head every time.
Well, that's great.
In the most positive way. So,
well,
who all is there on stage?
And we have a couple of great, we've got a whole mix. We've got people from Ireland, you know, the Irish players as part of the band. Then we have a whole bunch of bluegrass players and then some local jazz and gospel players. So it's a real fusion of musical styles. And of course, hymns lends itself to so many different musical styles. And that's what one of the fun parts of it is, that we can arrange these songs in lots of different ways and actually bring so many different musical traditions together to bear in this folk music. I think that's what makes it
and the
fun.
And the core 8 of us who do the hymn tour have now been together an average over 10 years. So it's been like, we've brought 2 new guys in, you know, one, Wendell's a brilliant jazz musician, as Kristen said, and Jermaine is a brilliant gospel musician. But essentially it was an Irish bluegrass fusion, but they just hung, honestly, they just love life together, you know. So it's been 10 years together. So it is fun to grow up with people and their families and their kids and their crazy uncles and all that kind of stuff. And I think it makes it fun, you know.
We opened this hour with an Alan Jackson song that had this great little tick 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 fiddle lick at the beginning, Living on Love. And you made a reference to Irish music and the homeland when you heard that about.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, the connection is so deep between our cultures. You know, the first year we came to Nashville, we had these parties at our house, and we invited all our Irish and bluegrass friends, and we came and just jammed music for the whole night. And one of the funniest things was somebody started playing a tune, and the guy beside them would go, oh, that's something. They would say the name of it. And then, of course, the Irish guy would go, no, it's not called that. It's called something else. And it turns out they're all the same tunes, but they just got different names.
So those melodies have been around a long time.
Yeah. I mean, Come Ye Sinners is a derivative of about 3 different Irish melodies, you know what I mean, that we started the show with.
Yeah, they're folk melodies, so they're meant to be sung by lots of people, and there's a timeless quality to them, so they just keep on being used and added to and changed a little bit. But they're gathering songs, and so if you're talking about congregational church music, that's a good place to go to try and find the melodies that can bring people together.
And that's right. And the Sing Conference and the concerts, whether it's Bridge Center Opera, whatever it is, they're basically just mass sing-alongs. We want everyone to really engage in the singing and being involved. And so that's I think that is the excitement. We got extraordinary musicians on stage, you know, world-class musicians from Nashville and actually from around the world. Pedro Eustache, you know, that they built, you know, Game of Thrones and all those movies around, and The Passion of the Christ, he's coming in and he's in Venezuela, and just all these wonderful folk musicians from around the world doing different things. But it really is ultimately, you know, a celebration of the Christian faith in singing. And so come, if you are coming, come ready to sing and come to enjoy singing as well.
What's it feel like on stage to hear all of that coming back at you?
Oh,
it's got to be incredible, huh?
Amazing, yeah. You know, we live in a time of all these in-ear monitors, you know, which are, I love them, fantastic, but you got to take them out just so you can really hear everyone in the room. It was the best.
Well, the Getty's in studio with us. Thank you both for getting up and coming in this morning. Getty Music Worship Conference here at Gaylord Opryland, 19-20-21 of August this month. And then August 20th is a part of that Bridgestone Arena. You can go to their website at gettymusic.com or gettymusicworshipconference.com and register online. It is all there.
And the Opry House on the 19th, correct?
Yeah. Sunday
the 18th for the hymn sing.
Okay.
Sunday night for the hymn sing, Tuesday night for the big Bridgestone big show. Yeah.
Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Don't thank us. Thank our nanny.
It's Bill Cody in the morning, 650 AM WSM.
Thanks for listening to our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Our digital program director is Jay Patrick. Our digital producer is Haley Hall. Marketing and promotions director, Nicole A. Judd. General manager of 650 AM WSM is Chris Kulik. I'm Charlie Matos. We'll see you next time on our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.